Okay. We are now live. This is Winfrey, and this is our Monday night conference call. And I forgot to check in as a moderator. And you know what that means? That means I can't mute you. So let's see who's on the line. I heard Prince, and who else?
It's Beth from El Segundo is here.
And who else?
Ellen from Virginia.
Ellen, and who else?
Francis, Concord, California.
Oh, hi. Francis.
Hello?
Guys, do me a favor and mute yourself. Sick.
From Los Angeles.
And who's that in Los Angeles?
Kerry.
Kerry in Los Angeles. Okay. My God. I heard my echo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I didn't hear it the second time. Okay, Terry, hi.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Well, we got all these people listening to us on BBS, and we're doing our normal rigmarole, and I'm getting people sending me emails saying we should be more professional. So I actually have a topic today, and I sent it out, and I'm not sure what I'm going to say about it, but I think it's something that will be of great interest to everybody. I assume I'm on VBS Radio, and Terry, can you hear me clearly?
It's a little bit fuzzy, but I can hear you.
A little bit fuzzy. One day, we do this from a landline. we do these calls from a cell phone. So it's totally digital. And I think probably it's harder for the... wait a second. Yeah. Our group Soul Guys is more challenging for them to get into a digital circuit. More complicated. Okay. But we'll do our best. Temperance, are you muted?
I think so.
Well, how come I hear you?
Oh, no.
Would you push star 6, please? Thank you very much. Okay. Some of those people that are coming on regularly get giggly, and I don't know why. But in any case, I just scared somebody off. I said I was going to do a topic today concerning rituals, mantras, magic versus co-creation and intention. And I have to think where to start on this. The best place to start is what Ra calls the law of one. The law of one is their way. And by the way, Ra is a group soul that has been connecting with humans for a very long time. And as far as I can tell, from what they say and from what my own cross-referencing and research, Ra is a huge group soul that is made up of graduates of this realm that their goal is to teach us how to live within the law of one. These are all those little things in the background. And the law of one is not a law like a traffic law, or even a government law or a judicial law. It's the underlying greatest principle of the entire universe. And it's the way, it's the highest truth, as far as I can tell, the highest truth for the way the universe works. And we are all little pieces of that truth. And almost everyone in this realm that's alive on the earth is to some degree connected with the Law of One, and to a much greater degree disconnected. And it would be as if there was one great lake with all these tributaries coming down it, and the tributaries branch into smaller tributaries. So finally, somewhere down the road, there's these very tiny little springs that are all connected to that original lake. But they're so far away, they don't know they're connected. Their awareness. And they're thinking they're just a tiny little empty thing. Now, in the physical realm, when we look at a tributary and a spring and a lake, in the physicality of it, the spring, in fact, really is far away from the lake. The spring can't access the lake except by the physical laws of the way water flows. But when we go into spiritual, metaphysical aspects of the human,
they don't know they're connected. They're learning. And with this, it's just a tiny little thing.
If you're on the line, could you please, if you just came on, please, six.
In the physicality of it, the spring, in fact, really is far away from the lake.
You guys hear that noise in the background? Okay, somebody has the radio. Thank you. Okay, humans are different than springs, okay? Because a spring is basically a purely physical flow that trickles down from a lake. But a human has the ability in their hologram, in their consciousness, oh, my God. This is a terrible connection I hear in the background. I might have to call back. Okay, thank you. Somebody just muted and you seem to quiet it down. Okay, a human is able to simultaneously be a tiny tributary, a tiny little spring at the very end of the lake, because your body will never be the lake. It's always going to be your body. But a human has a double identity because they also have an energy, and the energy field is not their body, and it's something which is separated from our direct perception, but it's very real. And those people who are into metaphysics and spiritual talk about the soul, talk about all ways of trying to understand this energy part of the human. And we could say that every part of our body is totally attached to an energy. And that energy has the potential to go back and be the lake. A connected way, far more directly than the body does. So when a human starts to connect with the lake, something happens. They start to be able to access other energies that are up the river, so to speak. Some people learn to channel. Some people learn to tune into vibrations. Some people learn to connect with each other In other words, the two tributaries, the two little springs, can connect and be a big spring. And when somebody starts to connect with a greater part of this flow, something happens in the physical that changes the energy in the physical, which some of you who have been tuning into this have experienced. And the experience is that you stop identifying so much with your body, and you start being an energy that's in a body, that you're a spirit attached to a body rather than a body looking for spirit. And things happen that are different. You have synchronicities. You start having psychic phenomena. Now, when you start having that, when you start moving into that, the challenge is, hey, this is something that I think other people would like to experience. How can I share this with other people? And you start talking about it, and people can hear your words. And there's a lot of noise in the background here. This is the challenge of doing a conference line and forgetting to be a moderator, because I can't mute everybody. So if you're on and you just come on and you have background noise, please push star 6. And good. Thank you. Thanks very much. Okay. So, when somebody starts to experience a bigger part of the flow, there's this desire to want to share it so that other people can experience a bigger part of the flow. And in fact, it's like it can get very lonely down here, because if you start experiencing yourself as a bigger part of the flow, and everyone around you is in a contracted, compressed part of the flow, you feel separated from them. You feel like it's boring to connect. You want to share this bigger energy, which usually expresses this kind of love, loving feeling, but not an emotional love. It's bigger than that. And so you're trying to figure out, okay, I'm connecting to something, and I look at people, and I can see how they're separated. I can see what they're going through. And you try to talk to them and try to explain this to them, and they think you're crazy. So the question is, how do you impart this big part of the flow that you've connected with when everyone around you doesn't seem to understand, doesn't seem to connect? And every time you try to go into it with someone, they interpret it like you're laying a trip on them, or you have a different belief system than they do, or you're judging them for being contracted. And so there's this huge challenge when you start to do this. Now, when there's in this matrix and positioning yourself in the matrix, we've learned through the raw material, and I kind of understand this quite intuitively, that there are service to other people and service to self people. And when you hear that the first time, I don't think you'll understand it. It took me a long, long time to realize what that really meant. And let me see if I can describe this from the way that I understand it. Everyone is positioned at some point on this matrix, or at some point on this river, where there's increasing flows. Now, some people are capturing the flow behind them from the lake. They're accessing the lake. We could say they're accessing their spiritual center, their source. They're accessing the source of energy that produces life, which you could call God, you could call it bigger energies up the river. And then there's other people that have a big energy, have access energies above them. So in order to validate themselves, they have to get their energy back from the energy below them. That is service to self. That is someone or an energy that doesn't have the energy of source behind them and has to look forward below them to bring energy towards them. They feel in a flow. The flow is not coming from the top all the way down. It's coming from the bottom reflected back. And so a service to self person is constantly attempting to create a flow back to them from what's below them. That's very tricky because it's very hard to tell the difference, because in many ways they can look very similarly to a person who never even considered any of this stuff. Because the service to self person is pulling energy in, and in the reflected energy, the person who's getting reflected can feel good for a while. Problem is, the energy runs down. There's no source up the river flowing on the back end. So the service to self person usually has to keep having an endless supply of energy from below pulling up. Now, the person that's got the energy on the back of them coming down has the desire to want to share this with other people in some way. So they're creating, their challenge is to create vehicles of how to move this energy through. Now, the one thing I've learned is that you have to create some kind of circumstance to make people reach towards you. You can't reach towards a person who's at a lower level of matrix and say, I have something for you, and isn't this a great gift? They won't get it. They'll only see it from their level. It takes only the slightest reach from that person back so that the energy becomes balanced. And now both people can access the lake way up there and bring energy in for everybody. I remember, I think it was Terry, she asked a question or something about this, and they suggested, well, just leave the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, on the desk. And when people ask about it, they'll have an excuse to talk about it. That is a way of making someone reach back. And to do that, you have to be very patient, because you don't get any instantaneous feedback. You don't get everybody saying, gimme, 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 I want it. Maybe a week will go by or a month will go by. But when it happens, it becomes real and enduring. So it's kind of, you have to set, I won't use the word trap, because that's got a bad connotation. Use the word hint. Thing that can attract someone's curiosity. So they ask them. Now, the idea is to create a flow of energy from the lake through the tributary into the physical world, into the relationships around you. And that is the challenge for a person who has this experience. Because once you have the experience, and if you're serving to others, you know it's an experience that other people want, even when they don't know they want it. They don't even know it exists. So somehow, they have to get the idea that it exists, so they'll reach back and say, where did that come from? As you know, as you who have been checking into these calls know, oftentimes we create that energy from the lake right on these calls, and that you can tune into it. Many of you can feel it, and if you stay on the call, sooner or later we'll do it on this call, and then we'll have a source that's upstream, so to speak, address us and talk from the upstream part of the energy flowing down through us and into this realm. And the idea is that we are creating this realm. We are the creators of it, but we've forgotten that we're the creators. So we're at the effect of our creation. And when are we creating this realm? We're creating it right now. Every one of you, right now, right in this moment, is part of the creation of this realm. And when you can move into the higher aspects of the upstream of the river, you start observing. And some of you can do this in high speed, the impact of creating this realm. For example, you'll be talking about something, and suddenly the radio has the same words. I was at a restaurant the other day, and I was talking about something, and the person at the other table suddenly said exactly the same sentence I said. And it's like I knew that I was in a co-creative energy of creating yourself. And when you start doing that with other people can feel it, but then they can't do it themselves. They can't duplicate it yet. And so there's this desire, how do you help somebody speed up their ability to duplicate that? To start being a co-creator at a higher realm, because if enough of us can do that, then something will shift in the physical. Each of us has a tiny piece of creation. Each of us is a tiny part of all that is. And just by being here on this call and sharing this time together, we are accelerating our co-creative connection. We are building vibratory fields between us at a high level. And when you experience this, and if you're coming from, let's just say, a newbie, and that doesn't mean you're any lesser than, because 5 years ago, maybe I was a newbie. Maybe, you know, it's like everybody is a newbie, because this is not easy to figure out. It's not easy to find. So when you find it, now some of you find it, you've already done it, and you say, oh, this is home, this is very familiar. But many of you have to go through, is this real? Is this possible? Who is this guy with? Who are these people that he's talking to? Who are these group souls? How do I know I can trust it? So, you know, you have to go through your period of assimilation to see if it integrates, if it resonates with you. And for some people, it won't. And for some people, it will be what they look like all the time. So then, what happens is, there's this ability to bring through the energy from the lake, or from the higher realms, into this realm. And then this realm starts to glow. It starts to vibrate. People around you change. There's a shift. There's synchronicity. You start to think something and it happens. You think of someone and they call you. There's a magic to it. So in the olden times, when somebody would access this ability and they wanted to impart it to someone else so they could hold it, what they did was they would create a ritual. And they would say that when you do this ritual, this energy will come through the ritual. So it was a human who actually, a human who had this big matrix that actually imbued the power to the ritual. And so people would do the ritual, and it would remind them and reconnect them to the energy they felt. And that was a way of helping someone stay connected. Now, in some cases, these rituals have come through the ages, and they still have the energy to them. Everyone that's done them kept revivifying the energy just by participating in it. And so it created an energy that moved through time, that the ritual would hold that energy and reconnect those who participated in it with the original source of energy at the lake. And oftentimes, that doesn't happen. What happens is the ritual loses its energy. And people keep doing it, but it's empty. And the ritual itself becomes the thing rather than the energy. But the ritual is just an excuse to bring the energy through. So, the key to rituals is the sacredness of your intention as you approach it. Because the real magic in this realm is your intention and your ability to co-create. We're going on both sides. We're going back and forth. We're going from the lake down, and we're going from the human up. I'm not sure I'm making myself clear, but I'm going to keep trying because maybe I can get this clarified. The ritual, like, what's a ritual? Sufi dance. I've gone to a Sufi dance, and people do all these funny things, and they look at each other, and they touch each other, they go around in a circle. And at the end of 20 minutes, everyone is totally high, and they're looking at each other in the eye. That's a ritual that I knew was working. Experienced it. I've gone to churches, and I've seen rituals, and didn't connect, oftentimes. The ritual did not touch and move me. We're talking about ancient rituals. Let's go back to magic and incantations and mantras. Mantra is a way that a person withholding an energy of the lake tries to create his food to reconnect with the lake. And so what he does is he sits, if he's a good guru, they'll sit with his student, and just because they're sitting together, they will have a co-creative energy because the student is reaching back to the master, and the master is holding the energy, and in the reaching back, The master shares the energy with the student, and then he says, repeat this word, and you will be able to reconnect with this energy. It's very much like the same idea as a ritual. It's creating something, attaching energy to it, and then the student will have the energy attached to that and hopefully reinvoke it to carrying it. And oftentimes, over time, these mantras do lose their energy. And then they just become empty words. I remember one teacher I had said, you know, you could put energy into anything, call it a mantra, and it would work. If you said Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola, it would become a mantra. So then what happens is, if you recall, I said service to self and service to others. When you guys email me, you can probably say, I didn't understand a word of what you said, and that's okay. I'm going to try to get through this. Service to self is trying to get the energy back to them. So what they do is they take the same ritual that seemed to work for the service to others, and they use it to control somebody. And they attach their energy to it, so the energy comes back to them instead of to the source. And so you have these smaller recycled back and forth energies going back, but they're all subsets. They're not originating from source anymore. And these are how the lower worlds get established. It's through, even with the negative, there are, how would you say, overlapping umbrella-ing holograms. So there's a huge negative that's very high. It's sucking energy from the negative underneath it. It's sucking energy from the negative underneath it. And they're all trying to set up systems to bring energy to reflect back any way they can to keep the energy up, because they're not connecting source. They're in closed loops, and even big closed loops. And a big closed loop can have a huge amount of energy in it until the energy dissipates, and then it becomes more, 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 more. That's why people get greedy. More, 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 more. There's never enough. That's why people get promiscuous. More, 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 more. Never enough. Always trying to find energy to come back to you, to keep you in stasis, so to speak. Now, this whole principle is so rampant on this planet, and so many of the cycles are the ones like I described, where there's negative on top of negative on top of negative, trying to create feedback loops so that they can validate themselves. Then they become secret societies, and they become, you know, every time two people get together, there's a co-creative energy at some level. But you can have a high co-creative energy and then try to use that energy to control other people. And thus you have energies of, say, witches' circles. Now, when I say that, somebody's gonna stand up and say, but that's not negative. Well, anything is either negative or not negative, depending on the intent and depending on whether the energy behind it is connected to the lake, or if it's just sitting there making a little group energy and trying to pull other energies in underneath it or control it. So there's really nothing that is, by calling it a witch's circle, doesn't make it negative. It depends totally on the participant in that circle, because a witch's circle can be as holy as anything else. And the key to making it holy is making it for the highest good of all concerned. terms and not violating free will. Because when you create creative circles or creative groups that have that intent, and there's somebody in the group, but it only takes one person to hold the higher energies, then the group energy that you create in the lower level has the potential to access these huge group souls in the other level. And interesting, in one of the channelings, they had said that in the other realm, there's 10 times more, and I can't validate this, but I'll just say it, you know, I'm not going to say it's true or not true, just consider it. There's 10 times more positive than there is negative if you go up the realm. But positive needs to be asked, and the negative can violate your free will, and thus. And the negative can do anything it wants to trap your energy. So now, if one doesn't learn discernment on this realm, it is so easy to get one's energy trapped, because the two things can look so similar in a manifestation in this realm. For example, let's take the idea of a guru, somebody who's a guru or a teacher, a spiritual teacher. From an undiscerning eye, a service to self person could have that position just as well as a service to others. Now, a service to self person would be attached to the energy that they're receiving from those underneath us, those that they're supposedly teaching. And they will unconsciously try to trap those people into needing them. Because by needing them, they now exert a certain control over them. Now, on the other hand, a person with service to others may connect and allow people to need him or her, because there's so many people that are walking around with so much karma or so many negative patterns that everywhere they go in the world, they're going to get their own reflection back at them. And they can't get out of their stuff. They just get into negative feedback loops. And I'm sure some of you have gone through that, that wherever you go, you're in a negative feedback loop. And you find something that doesn't respond to your negativity. Your negative feedback loop doesn't get attached to it. It's a pure source of connection. Now, what's going to happen is you're going to get addicted to that for a while, and you're going to keep coming back to it. And somebody looking at it from the outside would say, what an idiot. He's a blind follower. But from the person that's the so-called follower, they are actually working off their karma, because everywhere they go in the world, it's just their karma faces them. Their negativity is in their face. So they find someone that doesn't reflect their negativity back to them, and they have an opportunity to grow and shift their pattern. Now, if you're looking at this and you don't have the discernment, you could look at the service to self teacher and the service to other teacher. And on a surface level, they look very similar, because they both got a bunch of people addicted to them for at least a period of time. But the service to self guy is holding the people, trapping them, saying, you need me. And the service to other guy is just allowing it as a higher service, knowing that he's helping people release their karma and allowing free will. And he's getting his energy from the top of the lake. He's not depending on the energy from this negative feedback loop in the lower world. So I don't know if I've gotten to the point of getting this idea across, but for a human that's trying to figure things out, the important principle here is learning where you're getting into your negative feedback loop in your life and disconnecting from them and finding something that doesn't have a negative feedback loop attached to it so that you can use it, but it's unconditional. It doesn't want to trap you. And if you start studying the things like the secret societies, so to speak, the ritual initiation, they are all involved in negative feedback loops. And when you start getting close to them, you get hooked into their negative feedback loop and you get stuck. So I hope this makes some sense. I was a little distracted because of all the background noise at the beginning, and it's my fault because I didn't check in as a moderator. And I wanted to give our source, Terry, some time to share something. Let me see. We have about 12 minutes. Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
Are you there? You're there?
I'm here.
Let me call in the light. Now, I'll ask some questions about the topic we've been discussing. You know, if we get more sophisticated, I'll turn on my computer and then people can email me questions on a particular topic. Because these are really, really challenging times. And these are important things to get across, and I'm not sure I did a good job. But in any case, let me call in the light and we'll get some clarification on this from our source that speaks to charity. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line. And any negativity, because higher realms of light and transmuted to the highest good of all. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy to our bodies and into the center of the earth. I don't know, are you making noise, Jay?
I was just trying to eliminate any echo by by putting it on the earphone.
Well, when you do that, you should mute your phone because you sound like an earthquake. Okay? Okay, thank you. Right now, I'd like to invoke a connection, a group energy amongst everyone listening. Co-creative energy. And this we can do just by our intention. And I'd like to ask for our sources, we could call them the light, to join with our energy, the one we're creating. And if you shut your eyes, you can feel that energy at this moment. So right now, those of you that are feeling that, we are transcending being just a physical body. We are now tapping in to the part of ourselves that is the light, that is above us. It is precious, sacred. That's a reference. A reference point to being unit and connected to the light. We have our source present.
Yes. We greet you. We greet each and every one of you on the line in the love and light of the one infinite creator, and we are here to answer your questions
We understand that you are speaking concerning negativity, and we would say a couple words about that. Negativity is not from the higher realms. It is from the lower realms, and it is entered into by individuals who are seeking in any manner possible to survive in the lower realms. In the higher realms, and even in the lower realms, as the soul, the survival carries on, and is implicit in the energy manifesting within each realm. Although the form may change, the energy continues. Therefore, individuals who are attempting to survive at the expense of others put forth a negative flow. Negative flow can have little hooks and barbs on the energy flow outward to hook people in and to provide a pleasant experience while hooking them into an entrapment to continue the pleasantness of the flow. This is a double-sided energy. Do you have questions?
Well, maybe you could comment on the way I was describing this, because I said there was a feedback loop that gets recycled at a lower level or a medium level that doesn't tap into the higher levels and bring them into the loop, where if the higher levels were tapped into the loop would keep going. The energy wouldn't run out. But when it's a lower level of feedback, the energy comes in and it seems good, then it starts to run out. And I don't know, is that a way of explaining it or looking at it that you can see from your side has any validity?
There is some validity to this. Our energy at the higher levels is very fine and high frequency as the energy moves into or is experienced by individuals in the lower realms. They do not have such access to the frequencies of the higher realms and are more and more trapped into the lower frequencies of the earth and then are as if gravity are beckoning, summoned by the pull of the lower energies into the earth realm, which then may dissipate in the higher frequencies and connect more and more with the earth realm and stick on into lower level activities and then attempt to get energy to fulfill their own soul travel, which then can convert into lower level of sex or lower level of eatingness and the individuals become more and more a part of the earth. Is that some light on it?
They actually lose their ability to even have the potential to access the higher realm.
Yes, as they become more and more enamored and conforming to distortions which are encountered in their lower level of life.
Okay. Well, you know what? It's 6:50, and I think that it's time to close on BBS. It is time to close. And I thank you for coming in and answering that. Sometimes I think I didn't make any points, and then people email me and say, wow, that was great. But for some reason today, I don't think I made my point. So if you're listening, when I'm talking and things are distracted, I have a hard time focusing. All the things were distracted at the beginning. So I hope you come back again. On Wednesday, we do another channeling over just the conference line. And we announce it on the Spirit Channel at messageday.net. So I'm going to wish everybody a good night. And I thank Terry. I thank everybody who's on the conference call listening in. And supporting the energy, and we'll see you next time. And for those of you that are on the line, we'll say goodbye to our BBS audience, and we will take a minute of silence just to integrate these energy. And remember that. And shut your eyes. Feel that energy coming in. From the top of your head, going through your body, through your feet, to the center of your head.